As a student, growing up from the chalk and talk age, the computer and mobile phones were incredibly awesome ideas for me. We were told back then that with the computer, our life will be easier, and we will have less and less work, and we will live a very happy life. Do you agree? No, right? And now we don't even have computer. We even have mobile phone. We have a mobile computer with us, but I don't think we enjoyed more leisure. I remember when I got my first Nokia phone. Do you still remember Nokia? When I first got my Nokia phone, When I first got my Nokia phone, I felt like a child again as I played the Hangman spelling game. Who has played this game before? Hangman spelling game. I was so excited. And I also liked the catchword Nokia. At that time, the catchword for Nokia was connecting people. Do you agree that your smartphone now, not Nokia anymore, okay, your smartphone now brings you closer to others? Connects you with other people? The answer can be yes or no. But one thing I know, it all depends on how we use the phone. And we are not always, and not all of us, always have self-control. And so, look at the picture. Einstein is really a genius. And some 70 years ago, he has already predicted what will happen. The picture there, is it familiar with you? Is it familiar? Well, in the restaurant, when we have the reunion dinner, no one talk to each other. We'll just do this. And even if you want to talk to your mother, okay, just opposite you, you use this. Mom, when we will go to visit uncle? And then we'll use the mobile phone to do this. We'll use WhatsApp. And Einstein said, some 70 years ago, he said, I fear the day that technology will surpass our human interaction, that the world will have a generation of idiots. I think there is some truth in it. To be honest, despite the convenience technologies have brought, I have never felt I enjoy more leisure than before. On the contrary, I can see the emergence of a lost generation. A lost generation losing focus, losing rest, losing peace and joy, and worst of all, losing the capacity to love and to be loved. And there is a danger that the better the Wi-Fi coverage is, the more distant from God and from other people we have become. As for me, my mobile phone is Lenovo. The brand name is Lenovo, and it has very limited capacity. So whenever I need to do some updating for the WhatsApp, only for the WhatsApp, I need to remove some unnecessary applications in order to get the updating. Well, I think if we find that we have no more capacity to love our Lord, should we remove all the unnecessary applications in our hearts and in our life? Most of us have been or are in this state, living with a wandering heart. A wandering heart does not have rest and peace. A wandering heart cannot love, nor can it receive messages of love and trust from our God. No Christian wants to live in a spiritual desert. And today, through Psalm 103, I hope that our heart and all our inner parts can be brought back to our Lord. In Psalm 103, David addresses himself. He wakes himself up to bless the Lord. This is a classic psalm of praise. Now, let's wake up and let's meditate on this psalm. This psalm can consists of three parts. Part one is from verse 1 to 5. David addresses himself three times to bless the Lord for what a God he is. verse 6 to 18, David looks back to the history of Exodus, and he explains why we should bless the Lord for what he has done. And then verse 19 to 22, David calls all the created beings to bless the Lord. We'll note that the beginning and the end of this psalm echoes each other. And let's read out the red word, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So now, let me read it to you. You may open this one, okay? Turn to the inside page. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." We'll stop here first. In verse 1, the first word in this psalm in the Hebrew Bible is the word bless. In the English translation, the word bless is a command, and it appears three times. Bless is usually used of God blessing his people, or the elders blessing the juniors. But when God's people bless the Lord, it is a grateful expression of the thanks and praise to the God who is the source of all the blessing. Unlike other psalms, David is not calling the congregation to bless the Lord. But I think he wrote this psalm in his closet, and he asked himself, he invite his soul and invite all his inner parts to bless the Lord. He uses two expressions to emphasize this. First, he said, "Oh my soul." David asked his soul to bless the Lord. The soul is the seat of our emotions and passions. It is the inner being of a person. The Hebrew word also means life, my whole life, my real life. Bless the Lord, oh my inner being, my real self. And then the second object that David is calling is his inner parts. He said, "All that is within me." This word literally means all my inward organs, including my heart, my lungs, my kidney, my intestines. And in Hebrew, the deepest part of the emotions is from the intestine. And that is this word, that is the inner, the all that is within me. And this is where compassion and love rest. And very often we are moved to tears, not by our mind. We are moved to tears, not even in the heart, but it is our inner parts. In Chinese and English, we use heart, but to the Jews, they use this word, my inward organs. We cannot connect our mind to this part if we are too busy and too restless. We often operate with our mind. And when we are in a better state, spiritual state, we operate with our heart. But very seldom we respond with our intestine, with our heart. Actually, in Israel, people were so used to praising the Lord that sometimes they just did it mechanically. And as for David, he has written so many praise psalms that praising God might become a routine to him too. So in verse 1, in his closet, he calls himself to praise the Lord from the innermost of himself. This might happen to us too. When we praise with our lips, while our hearts and our intestines fail to catch up, right? We must wake up our souls and all our inner parts to bless the Lord, because He is the source of all blessings in our life. Now we have learned from verse 1 that we should wake up our soul and our innermost person to bless the Lord. So, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, to spend time in solitude and restfulness to bless the Lord and His holy name every day. In the Hebrew Bible, the word for the Lord consists of four letters. When they are capitalized, in the translation, L-O-R-D, Lord, it means Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, or Jehovah. So here David is calling his soul to bless Jehovah, Yahweh, the covenant Lord of Israel. To the Israelites, they did not pronounce the name of God because they think that it is too sacred for their lips to utter the words. So they will replace it with Adonai whenever the four letters YHWH appear in the Hebrew Bible. But what is the meaning of this four letter YHWH? And what is the substance of this four letter? In Exodus chapter 3, when Moses asked God, "What is your name that I can tell my people?" The Lord said, his name was I Am, who I am. And then from, this is the first person pronouncement of God's own name, right? And then from the third person, it becomes He is who He is. And that comes Yahweh. So the name, the literal meaning of the name YHWH is He is who He is. And then in Exodus chapter 34, the Lord proclaimed His name before Moses in response to His intercession for Israel after the golden calf incident. This is one of the most important messages in the OT. Let me read Exodus chapter 34, verse 6-7 to you about the substance of the Lord's holy name, so that whenever we praise the Lord, whenever we bless the Lord, we know who we are giving the praise. Okay? The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation." So whenever we bless the Lord and His holy name, you should bear in mind what Yahweh stands for. Yahweh is the eternal and almighty God, but to His children He is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness. Yet He is also a righteous God, determined to remove our iniquities, transgressions, and sin in the most radical way on the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, let's chant quietly verse 1 together. 1, 2, 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Now let's move on to verse 2. In verse 2, David commands his soul and his entrails to bless the Lord and His holy name, and do not forget all His benefits. The word benefits means rewards for service, salary wages. Brothers and sisters, are you happy with the remuneration package of your company? Yes, praise God. Why? Because you think you work hard? Raise your hand. You think you deserve your wages? You think your efforts should deserve more? Yes, right. And what about the wages or the remuneration package that Yahweh has given us? Well, wait, what have we done for our Lord? Are you working hard enough to share the gospel with others? Are you leading a life that glorifies our God? Do you practice the truth you have learned every Sunday? Do you praise the Lord every day? Well, this can be a long list. What have we done to deserve the benefits that the Lord gives us? Honestly, brothers and sisters, I was a sinner deserving to go to the lake of fire before I was saved. And after being saved by God, I have never fully lived up to the holiness and righteousness that God has bestowed on me. We are just forgiven sinners, still imperfect, and most of the time ungrateful. As for David, when he wrote this psalm, he knew very clearly that how undeserved he was for God's benefits, as he had committed adultery and murder. But our Lord is generous, in that he is abundant and he cares too much for us. He is abundant and he cares too much for us. So in verse 3 to 5, that is the remuneration package that Yahweh has offered to his undeserved children, like David and like every one of us sitting here. Let's move on to verse 3 to 5. Now here you will note that 3 to 5 start with the word who. In the Hebrew Bible, actually, this consists of 5 participles. The participle emphasizes the continual, habitual, and consistent disposition of that person. When we use the participle to describe what that person has done, it's not just a one-off action, but it is a description of how that person is habitually, consistently, and continually. Okay, so this is the disposition of the Lord. David wants to stress that the benefits we have are all from such a God who consistently, habitually does provide these benefits for us. Now let us see the literal translation here. Verse 3 to 5, the literal translation. What about you all read it together? 1, 2, 3. The one forgives iniquities, the one who heals all your diseases, the one who redeems your life from the pit, the one who crowns you with his steadfast love and tender mercies, the one who satisfies you with good things, your youth is renewed like the eagles. All the benefits listed here that the Lord has given us can be summed up in one word: himself. We have the Lord as our God. The Lord is the package. He is our portion. He is our reward. He consistently returns forgiveness for all our sins and iniquities, and he heals our diseases. Our diseases can also mean the weaknesses in this sinful and fleshly body. And then the Lord himself is disposed to redeeming our lives from the pit. And once he has redeemed us, he will never throw us back to the pit again, away from his presence. Yahweh is not like a millionaire who just buy us as a toys because we look cute, and then he pushes us away for loss of interest. He crowns us. A crown given by God is of extraordinary value and honor. God redeems us from the pit, and then he gives us the extraordinary honor to be the object of his steadfast love and his mercy. The word steadfast love, hexed, appears in verse 4, 8, 11, and 17. This is one of the most important attributes of our Lord, loving kindness or steadfast love. This is also the most distinctive character that David wants to emphasize in this psalm. The word can be translated as loving kindness or long-suffering love. Love that is so strong, so durable that it will never fail, never change, and never fade. The love is also based on his everlasting covenant with us, that once he has determined to love that person, he will never change. He will love that person to the end. This is his loving kindness. And he crowns us with his loving kindness. He also gives us the extraordinary honor to become the object of his mercy. The word mercy can also be translated as compassion, and it is a plural noun that means mercies. It also can be literally translated into tender mercies. Not because we are poor, he has mercy on us, but his mercy is out of his tenderness. He redeems us to be his beloved children, and he surrounds us with his steadfast love and his tender mercies. Yahweh is also a God who takes the initiative habitually and consistently to satisfy our desires with good things. What God continues to bring to satisfy our soul is the good thing that is really good in his sight, thing that is really good to our lives. As a result, our youth is restored, just like a mature eagle after going through the painful process of molting. The process of an eagle tearing off its own feathers, beak, and claws is very painful and dangerous. But after the new feathers grow, it looks as if it has been reborn. Its youth is restored. Actually, the process of God taking the initiative to satisfy us with what is good in his sight might sometimes be painful, but the result is our maturity and our transformation, and that is really good for us. Our Lord is God who rewards his children, the ungrateful, undeserved children, in this way. Where are our souls and our hearts? Brothers and sisters, are you willing to bless the Lord with your soul and all your inner parts? Let's practice now. I give you 1 minute, just 1 minute. After that, you can spend the whole afternoon. Now, bring your soul and all your inner parts to bless the Lord in your seat. I give you 1 minute. Love for love, and soul for soul. Let's set apart time every day for a truthful worship of such a great God as Yahweh. He is our portion. He is our reward. Now let's come back here. In verse 6 to 10, David summarizes the character of Yahweh with his gracious acts in the Exodus history of Israel. Then in verse 11 to 18, David explains why God can forgive our sins. Now let's rediscover the love of Yahweh together. Verse 6, let's read together. The Lord, and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he take his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Okay, let's stop here. Every time the people of Israel grumbled and threatened to kill Moses, you know what Moses did? He didn't argue with the people, but he just bowed down. And he fell on his face before the tabernacle, and then the Lord would vindicate for him. The Lord will also vindicate for those who are oppressed, for this is the nature of our God. Yahweh also revealed his way and or his character to Moses and Israel. He proclaimed his name, as I have just read out Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 to 7. You better recite it, because this is really a very important verse in the Old Testament. So he proclaimed his name before Moses, so that Moses knew the way of the Lord. He knew the character of the Lord. And then in verse 8 to 9, we know that from the verse that I read out from Exodus, verse 8 to 9 is actually taken partly from it. To David, Yahweh is the same God who took the initiative to reveal himself and make a covenant with Israel in the wilderness. He had not changed his character at all. To David, the Lord is also merciful and gracious, full of tender mercy and grace. And he is slow to anger. Oh, what's the meaning of slow to anger? We can look at the cow here, okay, with a short nose. Actually, the word slow to anger literally means long nostrils. Our Lord has long nostrils. That means if there is anger inside, wrath inside, it takes a long time for the wrath to come out from his nose. So our Lord has long nostrils. His love for us is what we call the long suffering love. It takes a long, long time for the wrath of the Lord to burn against his children. And we can see it in the history of Israel. The Lord can wait for so many hundreds of years before he really bursts. And this is our Lord. And he is abounding in steadfast love. Once he has determined to love, he will never change. And his steadfast love is much more abundant than we know we need. Yes, sometimes we do sin against our Lord. And when we ask for his... What happened? And then we ask for his forgiveness. But Yahweh is unlike many wives, ordinary wives, secular women, okay, who keep nagging their husbands. And even though their husband has already admitted their wrong and repents before their wives, but their wives will still remind them again and again, you know what you have done some 20 years ago, that you didn't do that and you did that to me. But the Lord is unlike the secular wives and unlike me. Because once He has forgiven us, He will not take us to the court again and again. So He will not always take us to the court. He will not always nag us. He will not again and again keep His anger against us for the sins that we have already repented of. He will not strive for the wrongs we have done. So we can really have peace and rest. In verse 10, well, He has not given me what my sin deserves. On the contrary, He gives me what I don't deserve at all. And then in verse 11 to verse 18, David explains why our Lord will not take us to the court again, why our Lord will not strive with us and will give us love that we don't deserve. This is Yahweh's character, and He is so consistent that we know how to come close to Him. And now, let's move on to, well, which verse is it? Verse 11. Okay, let's read verse 11 to 18 together. For is the reason explaining why the Lord does not deal with us what we deserve. Okay, 1, 2, 3. For as heaven above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He removes our transgressions from us. As a father who has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear Him. For He knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like, they flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children to children. Though those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. Let me give you an overview of these few verses first. The phrase, those who fear Him, appears in verse 11, 13, and 17. And this is the object of His everlasting, steadfast love, forgiveness, and tender mercies. Those who fear Him are God's children. Are we one of those who fear Him? How can we be a God-fearer? In verse 18, it provides us the answer. If we keep His covenant, means if we do not deny our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we always remember and practice His word. This describes what a God-fearer is. And now let's go back to verse 11. The first reason why the Lord forgives our sin is because His steadfast love prevails over those who fear Him. David measures the depth of this love, and his answer is infinitely deep. The Hebrew word for so great is gaber, and this word first appears in Genesis chapter 7, verse 18 to 20, to describe the waters completely overwhelming the earth. So the love of the Lord overwhelms us just like the flood. Please give us yes. In August, I spent a few days in the Silver Mine Bay on Lantau Island. And when I stood at the beach there, the sky above me was so high up. And I had a feeling that God's love has completely towers over those who fear Him. He towers over me, overwhelms me. And that is the kind of love I can draw on infinitely. God's love can never be exhausted, no matter how misbehaved I am, no matter how rebellious I am. The person that is the object of His love is the most important. And as the object of His chesed, His loving kindness, His love is overflowing like the flood. And His love will never end for those who listen and practice His word. Verse 12, His love for us also motivates Him to cleanse us. He simply does not want us to get involved to the dirty things anymore. David uses the horizontal distance to measure how far God is determined to put away our sins. So he used east and west to illustrate how God takes the initiative to distance his children, we, from our transgressions. And then in verse 13, God's steadfast love also moves him into having compassion or tender mercies for those who really love him. Tender mercy is best illustrated by the way a normal, loving parent treats his or her newborn baby. I still remember how I changed the diapers of my two sons when they were still babies. And every time I changed the diapers, you know what a crazy parent could do? I gently lifted the adhesive tape, and then I lifted his bottom to carefully examine the color, the size, the smell, and the texture of his excrements. And then I even kept a journal every day, how many times, what's the color, the amount, etc. I kept a journal of this for 2 years. And I have a crazy secret plan. Don't tell my son. Okay, that I will give this journal as special gifts on his wedding day, so that he will learn how to be a loving father. For a few times, as soon as I had finished cleansing his bottom, they peed on my face. And guess what I did in response to repay them? I repaid them with laughter. And then I laughed and laughed, and then I gently clean up the mess again, and then I wrap him up right away. I knew he was helpless and he couldn't handle the mess himself. And I, as a loving parent with tender mercy, I couldn't bring myself to see him crying helplessly in the mess he created. I guess, perhaps, this is the kind of tender mercies our Heavenly Father has for us. Let's move on to 14 to 16. The second reason why our Lord does not deal with us according to our sins and iniquities is because He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our frame. He knows how fragile we are because we are mere dust before Him. Without His love and tender mercy, the crown, the honor, we cannot survive before Him. In God's eyes, the days of all mortals are like grass, and they flourish like a flower, which will then gone with the wind. Our transitory existence is vanity if we exist away from the presence of our God. In contrast with mere mortals, those who love and fear God fare completely different, because of the steadfast love of Yahweh, started from the moment He chose us before we even existed, and it will sustain us forever. His righteousness, once given to us through Jesus Christ, will sustain from generation to generation to those who faithfully keep His covenant, to those who remember to do His commandments. To those people, we have a very intimate fellowship with our Lord. It's not because the Lord's steadfast love is too limited. It's because sometimes we run away from Him. But if we keep His covenant, and if we remember to do His commandments, we will have a very intimate relationship with our Lord, and then we can enjoy His steadfast love forever. Brothers and sisters, where are our souls? Where are our inner parts? What are the concerns and worries that trouble you, that trouble your inner person? You have learned through Psalm 103, verse 1 to 18, the abundant and steadfast love, tender mercies, and grace of our Lord God. This love has been incarnated in the Son, Jesus Christ. We are no longer mere mortals, but we are children of Yahweh, our great God. Children that love their Father should return love for love, life for life. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's move on to the last few words. That is towards the end of this psalm. And David affirms that the Lord is the highest one. Kingdom, sovereignty, and majesty belong to Him. So he calls on God's angel, his warriors, and all his servants and creations to bless him. If all his creations should bless God, how can we grumble to him, feel bitter towards him, and then get angry with him, and sometimes we'll feel indifferent to such a great God? Did that happen to you? Did you do one of those things? Did you complain? Did you grumble? How can we do that? Even the angels, the warriors, all the servants of God, bless the Lord. We should not be spiritual teenagers anymore. Stop grumbling and be a very tender, loving child of our Lord. Bring our souls back to the Lord's bosoms. Let's read 19 to 22 slowly. Okay. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Life is tough, I know, and this world is a dangerous place because the enemies of God hate us. Satan wants to devour us with whatever tools and circumstances that can draw us away from God. I know a senior pastor who was well known for his suffocating schedule. I joined a short mission trip led by him, and I thought he would take us for a spiritual trip, okay, giving us a daily devotion, etc. But he said he was too busy and too tired, and between nurturing his spiritual being and his manifold ministry, he told us he had to focus on his ministry first. Then after some years, I heard that he was disqualified. In the book Fear No Evil, a Jew called Nathan Sharansky, a famous Jewish dissident, he tells how the book of Psalms has saved his life during his 9-year imprisonment in Soviet Union. He was caught by the secret police in Russia then. Before, he was not a particular religious man, but in the prison, he somehow got hold of a book of Psalms. And then he began to read and memorize the Psalms. And the prayers of lament comforted him, while the Psalms of deliverance gave him hope. And after 9 years of imprisonment, he was released. The Soviet Union used it as a propaganda to the Western world. When he was brought to the airport under all the spotlight, he asked for the book of Psalms to be returned to him. But the policeman told him, "You have got what you have to leave this place. Go." But Sharansky did not give in. He dropped down to the snow and he shouted out that, "Without the book of Psalms, I will not leave." He was then given the Psalm book again. And then when he got on the plane, he turned to Psalm 30. And then he read from the depth of his soul this psalm of praise to Yahweh, who has saved him from from the pit. I hope, brothers and sisters, we don't need a 9-year imprisonment to learn to seriously meditate on God's word and praise Him from the depth of our soul. Let's pray. Lord, teach us to bless Your name from the depth of our souls. Lord, we bless You because You are a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in steadfast love. You will not keep striving with us, and You do not deal with us according to our sins, because You have abundant, steadfast love and tender mercies. We are Your children, crowned by Your steadfast love and tender mercies, the owner of our life, our portion, our reward. Bless Your name, Your holy name, in Jesus Christ's name.